Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. And I get a return guest here and there, and I have one of those today. I am thrilled to have my guest back again, Gregory Stout. How you doing, Greg?
Very well. How about you?
I'm good. We just call him Greg around the office. We're not formal with the Gregory, but that is your
Okay.
author name, Gregory Stout, so I had to say it. No, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. I think when I talked to you last time, I wasn't doing as good as I am now, so it's good. That's good. I'm glad to still be here talking to you today. Greg Stout is the author of Gideon's Ghost and Connor's War. Those are both young adult novels set in small town America in the mid 1960s. And the Seamus award-winning Lost Little Girl and The Gone Man, detective novel set in present day Nashville, Tennessee. And we're here to talk about the next one in that series. A complete listing of Greg's books are on his website, including 22 nonfiction titles. And I know you wrote a lot about trains because we talked about that
Yes.
last time. Greg resides with his wife and two cats, Wallace and Gromit, in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, where he's a member of the Heartland Writers Guild, the Southeast Missouri Writers Guild, and is a member of the board of directors for the Missouri Writers Guild. So you're out there meeting people and hustling. So welcome again back to the show. The next book is called Woman in the Wind, and this is a not the Nashville PI story continues, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
Yeah.
so what's going on in Women in the Wind? Give me your elevator pitch.
My PI is hired by a newspaper reporter to track down a woman who he believes has evidence that would link a candidate for the governorship of Tennessee to organized crime money. And so we end up digging into the media, we dig into organized crime, we kind of touch base with the music industry because that's a big part of what goes on in Nashville. And we have a kind of a surprising ending, I think, this time. Because at the end of the day, PI fiction at some level is noir. And in noir, you don't always have a tidy ending the way you would in a cozy.
I agree. Nora is sort of like, okay, everybody's screwed, but that's the end of the story.
Pretty much, yeah, everybody was screwed.
Very good. Well, it's a good book. And it's a great book. I loved it. It's fun. It's a good, I like the cover on it. I always like all your
You did a
covers. They're fun.
terrific job on that cover, I have to tell you. That was gorgeous. And I'm getting a lot of compliments on the the Besties Facebook page.
Cool. Yeah, thank you very much. That was a fun one. So, as I alluded to in your bio, which has been updated since you were here, you've added Seamus award-winning to your bio. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So, what was it like to get that news? How did that feel when that news came around?
It was way cool, and I don't know how many other entries there were, so maybe I was the only one. I really don't know.
Don't think so.
And I don't know that I had any particular expectations, but it was really neat when they sent out the list of finalists, and I thought, oh boy, well, maybe we got something here. And I was competing with another bestie, so I was familiar with at least one of the other books, and I knew, that the competition would be fairly tough, but it was cool. And I could actually hold up the award. I could go get it and hold up the award for you, but we're not doing video, so.
Yeah, no. Well, you'll hold it virtually. We'll just imagine it. But
Oh
that
yeah, well,
had
here it
to,
is.
yeah, it had to be very exciting to get
Was.
that validation. So, congrats. Well, that was my first question. All right, my second question. So, as part of this deal, or maybe not, you acted as a judge for that same award the following
Yes.
year. Yeah, so that's cool. What was that process like? And do you think judging multiple works or other writers will impact your writing going forward? Did you learn something from this process, or did you hate it, or how did it go? Tell us all about that.
Well, no, I didn't hate it. It was a bit overwhelming because I didn't know how many books to expect, and what tended to happen was that a lot there's a period of time where they say, it's got to be in by whatever it was, March 15th, I think. And the bulk of them showed up in the last couple of weeks. So from that point, we had until the end of May to, get this done. And they pretty much, I'm going to say at least half of them showed up toward the end. And you just, you maybe read faster than I do, but I don't read fast enough to read 16 or 18 books in 10 weeks. I just can't do it. So one of the things that it did was it gave me a pretty good idea of what you guys must be up against, because you're getting, unsolicited manuscripts all of the time, in addition to people that have commitments. And so I tried to give everybody five chapters, and I thought, well, okay, if this isn't working for me, and again, it doesn't mean it was a bad book. It just meant that it didn't fit sort of the parameters as I and the other two judges understood them, which is, first of all, it should be a PI and not a lawyer and not a, a school teacher and not an amateur sleuth of one kind or another, or a police procedural. So what I am doing now, I'll never have to probably buy another book as long as I live, but I will go back and read these things, and if I can, I will try to post a review, because I think that's just a courtesy, to the people that took the trouble to enter.
Oh, well, that's very generous review. I mean, and the one thing, it's so funny because I've judged a lot of story contests and the different anthologies I've been involved with when I was a judge, which is not always the case, but I've read up to 100, 200 stories at a time, and if they don't send it to the theme that it is, like, why would you want to be rejected at just because it's not doesn't fit what I'm asking for or what we're asking for? So that's really interesting. But no, yeah, it's I mean, we get here at LBB level best, we get I would say 20 submissions over the transom every week. We get people sending in like 20 to 25 a week through the form on our website, and then I have multiple agents that pitch to me every week. All of us every week and month, I'm getting stuff from agents, and then eventually sometimes I'm asked to go to listen to pitches live for authors that pay to spend time with me to pitch me face to face at an event. So I just did one of those in Baltimore a couple weekends ago, and I just been invited to one in March. So yeah, it's I am never not inundated with things. And then, you guys send your stuff in and we have to read those, and that's priority because we, it's already things that we already own. But yeah, so that's it's just a constant flow of work. But I think that 5 to 6 chapters is a good indication. You're not reading one. You're giving them that's a good
Yeah,
shot at getting your
that's 40
attention.
or 50 pages, and if it's not working, it's just not working. And again, it's not because they're bad books, it's just they're not, they don't fit the parameters. There's a presentation that I do to writers groups called Path to Publication, and it's a series of PowerPoint images, and the first one up is don't write a lousy book. But the next one has to do with kind of figure out a way to break through the clutter, because this is a, it's a tough business. It's competitive. And people say, I think I've got a book in me. And you know what? They do. They do. Because we've all had shared experiences. We've had lost loves. We've had people die. We've gotten married. We've, whatever it is, had kids. But do you bring something new to that experience? Is there something beyond just got married, had some kids, got a job, moved to Atlanta? Because if that's all you got, everybody's done that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of there's luck that comes into play, being in the right place at the right time,
Is.
timing, it's hard work plus timing and then some luck thrown in is that's usually the recipe for success. But it's just you have to have all the you have to keep trying because the perfect time will come to you if you just try, stick around long enough, someone will notice you. So,
You mentioned
but
those YA books that I did, and I think the first one, I think it got rejected about 18 times.
wow.
And I had read that I think it was Heller was rejected 22 times, and I thought, okay, I'm going to give myself 25 times, and if I get bounced 25 times, this thing is not commercial. And that's just, and I get it. Because those rejections are soul crushing. It's like somebody telling you have an ugly baby.
Yes.
I just have to get past that.
And then murder that person in a book down the road somewhere,
Yeah,
fictionally.
that's
Not
right.
in real life, fictionally.
No, just write them
Yeah,
as an
so
undesirable character.
yeah. And people take it to heart. It's funny, I just got my first piece of and that's it's I've been around a long time. I've got my first piece of anonymous hate mail in the actual mail, an unaddressed letter because they got rejected for something, which I didn't even do the rejecting, by the way. I was just person let them know. So I was like, I wasn't even the one that didn't choose this, but I got a piece of hate mail, 2 pages long, and did all this research on things that we've accepted before. I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, people get really upset.
Well, once I got rejected because I write justified.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a really good reason. That's like getting 1 star on Amazon because the book came wet or something. Yeah. It was raining that day, so I got a 1 star review. People are crazy. And also people are very lovely. I'm not saying everyone's crazy, but there are some nut jobs out there. Okay, number three. Jackson, you're back to the book. Jackson, your PI. This book, he kind of gets into the, as you were saying, it gets into the world of politics and journalism. How did you land on this plot point? How did this plot come to you?
This is actually these books. I wrote these many, many years ago. Actually, going back to the 1980s, I was literally wrote them on college ruled paper when I was riding a commuter train in Chicago. And this one, I think it came out of a movie that I saw that was being screened at that time, and I thought, oh, I can twist this thing around a little bit. And it just had to do with somebody that sort of broke into the middle of an investigation and tried to capitalize on it. And that's really what this one is kind of about, is this reporter sort of stumbles onto a story that came out of something else that he was working on. And at some point he decided he was going to try to monetize it. And that's where it sort of made a wrong turn for everybody involved. Originally, it was just a story. It was an exposé that he was working on. And then he thought, well, I think I can make some money off this. And I need somebody to be a fall guy.
Yeah, well, politics never goes out of style, let me tell you. So it seemed like you wrote it yesterday. It's the current world
Well,
of, you know,
I
we're in a.
rewrote it recently. Yeah, I had to
Yeah.
do that.
Yeah,
Actually,
exactly.
one of the things is there, when I wrote it, there were pay phones. There were no cell phones.
Yeah.
Cars had carburetors. Just they're not there anymore.
Yeah, that is a ways back. Yeah, I remember when I got my first cell phone. I was pretty young working in the city, so that was a while back. My company gave me one. I was like, what is this new thing? That's weird. All right, well, that's cool. But like I said, it's politics and journalism evergreen. You can go back to all the way to the 1800s, and there'll be a good story of something to do with journalism and politics. So it's never going to go out of style, and it'll always still be aggravating, I think, for a lot of people. So question number four. What is the appeal of Nashville to you? You love Nashville? Have you it's a cool town. It's really cool. They have Killer Nashville there, and also Batchercon's going to be there. So why do you set your books in Nashville? Tell me all about that.
Back in the 1970s, I lived there for 5 years. And of course, we have friends there that we've known for 40 years, 50 years almost. And we get back there several times a year. And I will tell you, it doesn't look anything like it did in 1975. It's twice the size. And it's become a lot more of a, well, it always kind of was a tourist destination, but very much more so than it was back then. And it's not a city that's been done to death. Most of the time when you're reading PI novels, they're going to be in LA, which is kind of the archetype, or they're going to be in New York or occasionally in Chicago. And I could name you some other cities where people have turned them into series, Detroit, Cincinnati, and others. But I thought, well, Nashville's kind of cool because nobody's doing that. And it seemed like it was an interesting enough place that, people can relate to the music industry, and a lot of people like country music, and it's a vibrant place. And as a matter of fact, if you go there now, the downtown looks completely different. There are more high rises than I would have thought possible, and the construction continues right up to the present day. So it's a good place.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you do because I love Nashville. My uncle used to live there, and I would go in my college years. I would go visit him, and later 20s. And it's one of those towns where, like, even if you haven't been there, you feel like you know it because it's very iconic. And I think that
Yeah.
people can imagine it even if they haven't traveled there. So it's a cool setting. And you're right, there isn't a lot of Southern PIs in those kind of cities. So that's neat. I'm glad you did it.
Traffic, however, is horrific.
That's everywhere now, I think, because we're all, yeah, traffic is bad. I remember when I went there, I had never had allergies before, but then all of a sudden I had like massive allergies whenever I would visit because it's like a basin and it keeps all that air. And I had to sleep sitting up one night. And I'm like, what's the matter with your air? I was living in New York. I'm like, I'd rather go back and smell, pee in the streets and just not be able to breathe down here. But then I got over that, but it was fun. Lots of antique stores. I used to go antiquing there when I was younger. So, all right. Greg, Number five, you teach writers, you're involved with a lot of writing organizations, you're involved in the community, you're judging people's work, you're doing a lot of things. If you could tell your younger writing, oh, and you've also written like, I don't know, almost 30 books or something. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
Don't give up. If you have a story to tell, tell it. And I again, I'll go back to what I was talking about earlier with don't write a lousy book. Your chances are the first book you write is going to be a lousy book. But then there are people like most recently this gal Colleen Hoover, who I think actually self-published maybe her first one or two books, and somehow that caught on. And she's doing, very, very well. So you have to believe in yourself. And I know that the rejections you get are soul crushing, but very often it's got nothing to do with the book. It's because they haven't got one like what you've written, or they don't do. I remember sending a manuscript off to a publisher called Murder and Mayhem, as I want to say was the name of the publisher. And they said, "We don't do that." And I thought, well, what do you do? You
Exactly.
know, so it didn't fit in their lane, or they're committed out for the next 18 months, like I imagine you guys are. You've got stuff on the calendar, probably into the next century. And so it's not personal. These editors don't know you, they don't dislike you. It's not personal. It's just that what you're doing, just like with the contest books, it doesn't fit what they're trying to do. You know,
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
it's like Don
Perfect.
Corleone said, it's just business.
It's not personal.
So here's a bullet in the head for you.
Yeah. That was Tom. That was Tom the lawyer. That's who said that in the movie. I know that movie by heart, backwards and forwards. He said it to Sonny because Sonny was getting hot-headed about something. It's not personal, it's business.
It's just business.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's good. I don't know other things. I can't remember people I used to live with, but I know movie lines from. That's what my brain hangs onto those kinds of things. Well, that's very good advice. And that, yeah, Colleen Hoover, she's something. It's you see her books in like Walmart and everything. She's everywhere. And yeah, that's you do have to have confidence. And it's unfortunate because I've had some friends, they get one negative experience and they just sort of like, okay, that's not for, I can't do this. I'm like, no, you can't read a bad review and never write again. I mean, that's,
I
everyone gets
don't
bad
know,
reviews.
Sean, is how that happens though. I don't know how J.K. Rowling or Colleen Hoover, I don't know how you catch lightning in a bottle. And that's something I think, we're all trying to do that. And I don't know whether it's just, I think probably to some extent, as somebody said, getting published is an accomplishment. People buying your books is luck, because the right person picks it up and talks about it on Good Morning America or whatever it is, and there you go. That just seems to be the way that is.
Absolutely. It is it's a hard work plus timing plus luck.
Seems to be.
That's the recipe. Yeah. And Stephen King retweets your book. That's cool too. happens to like you. But yeah, so that's really good advice, and I think we'll all be following that. So what's up next? What are you gonna do? What are you working on? Where can we find you? Tell us what's going on.
Actually, the next one is done, and it's called Long Time Gone. And I think I'll owe you that one in April, and I'll have that one for you. I'm starting to work on the fifth one, and I'm 12,000 words in, and I'm stuck. Absolutely stuck.
You got time.
So.
You'll be all right. You got time. Take a walk. Shake it off
Yeah,
and then come back to it.
I
That's
do.
what
I
I
have
do.
plenty of time.
Yeah. What I
Because
like
I
to
owe you
do when
guys
that
three more
happens,
books, so.
yeah, you're fine. What I like to do is just try to I'll like write a short story or a poem or something in between and try to shake the brain loose. And then that sometimes works. And then you switch off and it's not so much that then you're not up against a giant deadline. So you have time to luxuriate
Yeah.
in the panic.
Yeah, I just find, reading other stuff helps.
Yeah.
Somebody I'll run across a similar situation that somebody else has dealt with, and I'll think, oh, that's a way to get around that particular obstacle.
Absolutely. And you have lots to read, as you said, so you're good.
I could point to this basket over here.
We'll imagine an overflowing basket of books that may or may not be PI novels. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's always
Quite
good to
welcome.
talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, now you can say I'm an award-winning Seamus, award-winning. You know, you could just put that on your t-shirt and walk around, and everyone will have more respect for you going
Right, and
forward.
an internet radio star too.
There you go. See, it's all coming together. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.